Continue our study on discouragement's recovery, and we've been looking at some of the major reasons why we find ourselves discouraged, and we've gone over these. Again, I think just generally speaking, one of the reasons why people are discouraged in our world today is because they don't know the Lord. I mean, I get discouraged and I know the Lord. I get troubled about things, but I can't imagine what it's like to be lost, to be unsaved, and to not have the Lord to turn to, not to have fellow believers to ask for fellowship and prayer. So that's one of the major, I think, reasons why people in our world are discouraged. And then when we neglect the things of God, it inevitably leads us into a despondent, despairing, discouraged, even a depressed state. When we're not in the Word, we don't pray, we don't go to the house of God, we don't serve, we don't worship, it has a deadening effect upon our spiritual life, and that will be discouraging. Last week we looked at unbelief, when we fail to simply take God at His Word and believe what He says and act upon it and truly embrace the truth of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Now tonight, and this is a big one, another reason for discouragement among Christians comes as a result of our outward circumstances. Everybody has their own set of circumstances, problems, issues, afflictions, difficulties that they have to deal with on a day-by-day basis, a week-by-week. Sometimes it's a terminal thing. Something that is going to be that way for the rest of your life. And I know that there are times, if we're honest with ourselves, that we get caught up in our problems and we get overwhelmed by discouragement. Every one of us, at one time or another, has felt the sting of financial setbacks, job stress, problems in our home, poor health. I mean, I could go on with a list of things that you and I know have an effect upon our attitude, how we look at things, how we attack every day. And we often grow despondent because we want things to go our way. It's part of being a human being. I mean, everybody wants to sail on smooth waters. Everybody wants everything to go just the way they hope that it will. And we get discouraged when things don't go the way we think that they should. We allow our circumstances to discourage us rather than turning those difficulties, whatever it may be. And believe me, there are people that have much heavier burdens than I'll ever think about, that I've ever had up to this point in my life. Went to visit George Sherman today. Hadn't seen him in a while. At first I didn't recognize him. He's got a shaved head now. And he was just sawing logs. I mean, he was in a, it was about, I don't know, 4:45, 5 o'clock. It must have been his afternoon nap time. He was in a dead sleep. But John and Josh went with me, and I felt like I'm going to wake him up because we haven't seen him. And I woke him up, and he was so happy to see us. He was so glad that we came. Now, this is a brother that's had a lot of physical challenges, real difficulties. He's lost both his legs. He's a Vietnam vet. I think he was affected by the chemicals in Vietnam. He's got diabetes, which led to his legs being amputated. But you know what? I was amazed by how good his attitude was, how good his outlook was as he was laying in that bed. And I got so convicted about me and my circumstances, nothing like his. And yet I find times when I get discouraged over things, they seem really big to me. But in comparison to George Sherman, who's in a nursing home now at the age of 76, my troubles don't seem near as difficult as his. We all have our different set of circumstances. His circumstances are such that he can't change them. He can't get his legs back. They're trying to train him to use prosthetics, but it's just a difficult thing to learn something like that when you're 76 years old and you don't have a whole lot of physical strength as it is. I could give you examples. You know people that are going through things. We pray tonight for Teresa. It's Teresa Watts. A woman with a young family. Going to have a liver transplant tomorrow. That's a pretty difficult set of circumstances. I think of Mindy Coffey and her husband, Scott, the 5 kids that they have. And they can't help her right now with this autoimmune disease. Those are real difficult things. And I know that when those things hit us, we are prone to get very discouraged. I can't tell you what it must be like for Brother Troy McGahan, his wife, and his son. He's just been put in hospice care. I mean, just out of nowhere, he found out he had a terminal bone cancer. Real hard circumstances. How do you pray? I pray for miracles. I pray for Teresa Watts. Wouldn't it be wonderful that everything would go right, that our prayers would be answered, that liver transplant would be successful, that she'd be able to get back to her family and her children and her homeschooling, and God would work that out. Oh, what a triumph that would be. But right now, tonight, she's probably at one of her lowest points in her life, not knowing what the future may hold. So discouragement, it comes in a variety of ways on to different people and their set of circumstances. And I hope and I pray that all the ones I just mentioned, that God has helped them to turn those things over to Him. And that they're seeking Him and desiring Him and asking for His grace to pull them through. The fact is, God can use our afflictions, our circumstances, our hardships to cause us to grow and to bring glory to His own name. We need to remember that what Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And you know, sometimes those deliverances may be small, they may be great. It may happen in this life, or it may happen in the life to come. But if you're a child of God, you know that God is with you of a truth. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's loved you with an everlasting love. He sent His Spirit into your heart to dwell with you. He and the Spirit of God is called the Comforter. As difficult as our circumstances may be, as Christians, we're not to be guided by the external, temporal things of this world. We're to be guided by an inward principle of grace, which will enable us to rejoice even in the midst of the most adverse circumstances. I've only had my life threatened a couple times, and I was much younger. And when you're young, you don't even think about it if you have your life threatened. Now that I'm getting older, it kind of alarms me now. But I always go back to what Paul and Silas, I mean, it's a really bad hand they were dealt. Well, maybe that's not the best language to use. But you think about it. They were preaching the gospel. God was saving people, blessing them as in their mission work. And the next thing they know, they're charged and they're put into the Philippian jail. They were beaten unmercifully. They were chained in that damp, dark prison cell. Those are pretty bad circumstances. And I often think, how would I have reacted? And if I know me, I probably would have said, Lord, what is going on here? I'm preaching your word. I'm trying to do what's right. You know, God gave them such grace to overcome their circumstances. It's one of the most amazing accounts in all the Bible. There they were in pain, imprisoned. And at midnight, they're singing praises. And God used their testimony to cause the Philippian jailer to say, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You see, God used those difficult circumstances to bring glory to His own name. There's great advice. We're going to close with this, but if you would turn in your Bibles so you can read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've quoted these verses so many times. And all, if I could only learn how to live them better. Paul says in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, Now, mind you, this is a guy that's been beaten, thrown into prison. He'd been stoned at Lystra. I mean, just one thing after another. And he says, our light affliction. That's the way what he considered the weight of affliction. He said it was light. In comparison to what? In comparison to what we deserve. We deserve an eternity in the lake of fire. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. What great advice to ponder this. Our trials, like our life, is temporary. Our trials are not going to go on forever. One day I'm going to be in heaven. One day I'm going to stand in the resplendent majesty and glory of God, and every imperfection is going to be taken away, and I'm going to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And you look at my life right now, I'm almost 65. I know, I don't look that old. But I'm almost 65. Here's my sliver of life right there. There's eternity. Forever and ever, no ending. Here's my little life. It's like a vapor. It's there for a moment and vanisheth away. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's the length of it is temporary, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's how we're going to get out of our discouragement, when we understand that God is using this to work in us and for us. That's the outcome. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May God help us to take heed to this as we deal with discouragement.